We begin the Karan Daf Masechtas Brachas Daf Dalad. We begin 8 lines in from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion we had in the previous Daf, which was related to the fact that it seemed that David HaMelech, he would get up at Chatzais, and therefore he ultimately knew when Chatzais was to say that that's when he got up. But it seemed that Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not know when Chatzais was, because he said Ka Chatzais, that around Chatzais, around midnight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to kill all the firstborn. How do we resolve this inconsistency, so to speak, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know, but David HaMelech did know? So the previous Gemara said that David HaMelech also didn't know, and rather he only knew from the siman of when the kina was playing. But now the Gemara gives different resolutions to this question. B'zeir Amar, Moshe lo'ilm habayoda. Moshe Rabbeinu really did know when Chatzos was, but David Nami habayoda, and David HaMelech also knew. So therefore, that's why it's not a difficulty, not a challenge that David HaMelech could say that he got up at midnight. And therefore, v'kivin to David habayoda kina lamalei. So if he knew when Chatzos was, so why did he need the harp to tell him when Chatzais was? So the Gemara answers very simply, Lisa Uri Mishnasi, to wake him up from his sleep. But he knew what time it was if he was awake. It was just to wake him up. So then the Gemara goes back, the whole question was based on the fact that we saw that Moshe Rabbeinu said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that he's going to kill the firstborns at around midnight. And ultimately that meant that Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not know when to define that. If he did know, why did he say Kachatzais and not Bachatzais at exactly midnight? So the Gemara says that was for a political reason. Moshe was concerned that maybe the astrologers of Paroi, maybe they're going to make a mistake. And they're going to say that Moshe is a liar. Because he says, although I know when that time is, they don't know exactly when midnight is. And maybe before midnight, they're going to think, oh, it was already midnight according to their calculations, and the Makkas B'chayis did not come yet. And they're going to say, oh, he's a liar. And therefore, it's better to say, I don't know exactly. As the Gemara says, it's always better to accustom your tongue to saying, I don't know, rather than being caught in falsehood. And therefore, and this is the statement from Masechtas Derech Eretz, it's better that he would say at around midnight, because although he knew the truth, they might not know, and they're going to accuse him of saying falsehood. It was better that he was being, so to speak, more careful. But not that he didn't know, just for the sake of the astrologers of Paroi making this mistake. Another test the Gemara gives why he said Kechatzis if he knew the exact moment was Rav Asher Mebepal Geurta Detleise Nigyar Beis Avakoi. You have to understand the context when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying this. He was saying this the night before, we know that the nest was on Lil Yud Daled, and the night before, on the 13th, when it was turning into the 14th, the night of the 13th, turning into the morning of the 14th, at that night, at Chatzais, was when he was saying this. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, either to Klal Yisrael, depending on the Girsa, or to the Mitzrayim. But the point is, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying this, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu l'mocher kachatzais ha'layla ki ha'idna ani yoyitza b'teich Mitzrayim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying that tomorrow, but it doesn't mean at around, Kachatzais at around, rather just like, Kachatzais, like midnight of now, at the same time, tomorrow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go out and kill the firstborn. So again, Kachatzais doesn't mean like around, rather it means like, that of just like now, so too tomorrow, but it means precisely at midnight, and that's what he was referring to. So again, we have two different reasons why, if Moshe and David both knew Chatzais, why Moshe Rabbeinu said Kachatzais. Either because he was concerned that it's Tagnin Nepari, they're astrologers, they're going to make the mistake. So for political reasons, he said Kachatzais. And the second reason was because it meant, doesn't mean around midnight, rather means just like now, it's midnight. So to tomorrow at midnight, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to come out and kill the Mitzrayim. Now the Gemara goes back to this discussion about David HaMelech getting up at midnight. And the Gemara has a discussion related to this. It says in the Pasuk, LeDavid Shamra Nafshi. David HaMelech says that Hashem shall watch my soul. He chased on me because I'm a devout man. So we have machlekes what David HaMelech meant, what he was referring to when he said he's a chassid, that he's a devout man. Levi v'Rabbi Yitzchak. Two different opinions. Chad Amar, kach amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what David was saying in front of Hashem. Rabbeinu Shloim, lo chased on me? Am I not a devout person? And why is that? Shekol malchi mizrachu mariv yishen matshalosh. All the kings from the east and the west, they sleep until 3 hours in the morning. And the reason why it picks east and west is because those were always the more established and habited lands, in contrast to the north and south, since the polars are colder, more extreme weathers. That's why it was always east and west, Malchi, Mizrach, and Ma'ariv. So the point is that those kings, they sleep up until 3 hours in the morning. Vani, Chatzos Laila, Akum Laizlecha, I get up at midnight to get up and praise you. So that's why he said that I'm a chassid, and therefore you should watch my soul. Ve'idach, and the other opinion is that Kacham Adol Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebbeinu Shalom Lechasidani, am I not a chassid? Shekal Malchim Mezuchim Marav Yoishma Gudes Agudes Bechvod. What do the other kings do? They sit in their courts and in their honor, and they have all the pomp and the ceremony just for their own glory. Vani Yodim Luchlochis Badam. My hands are soiled with blood. Uvishfir with embryos. Uvishali with afterbirths. What is this discussing? So Rashi says that the women would show David HaMelech different maris, as we know that a woman should bring to a Rav when she has a question on regarding Dam Nida, if it's Tomei or it's Tar. And there were different maris that are Tahar, although they're blood, but that's what a competent Rav has to say, that if it's Tar or Tomei. And he was busy with embryos, which is the skin of the child, that the bones and the different sinews and the flesh are created inside of it. And the point is that there are different embryos that the woman has to sit in it. You may tum of it, may tahara. That's if it was fully formed, the child, when it was born. And however, there are embryos that are full of water and blood, which is not considered a child, that you would have to sit in it the days of tum and the days of tahara. And similarly, regarding afterbirth, the shalya, that we know there's a klal, that there's no afterbirth that doesn't have a child inside of it. And so it's so to speak, it's the sac, the embryonic sac that the child is inside of it, and they would bring this in front of David HaMelech to see if it has the shear, if it has the halacha of a shalya, that we should consider it that there was a child inside of it, and rather he was just, so to speak, dissolved, and therefore you have to sit in the days of tum and tahara or not. So these are the things that David HaMelech was busy with, kedei latar ish labala, to permit the woman to her husband. He was trying to find ways of having a heter for the woman to be with her husband. So he says that, and this is what he's busy with, in contrast to all the other kings who are all involved in their own covet. Not only that, but whatever I do, I consult my Rebbe Mifi Boishas. And I tell him, Mifi Boishas Rabbi, Yofa Danti, did I judge correctly? Yofa Chiyavti, Yofa Zechisi, did I make the person liable correctly? Did I make him exempt correctly? Yofa Teharti, Yofa Temesi, did I make it pure or impure correctly? And I wasn't embarrassed. And therefore, this is what he's saying, that he's, so to speak, a chaser, and he deserves, so to speak, this treatment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to watch his soul because of showing his comparison between him and between the Malchim Mizrach HaMayr. So now the Gemara brings a source for this concept that we just mentioned. That Amir B'Shu B'Reid of Edi Mikro, what is the pasuk that shows this? David HaMelech says, V'adaber be'edei secha negim malachim, that I speak your precepts, the words of Torah in front of kings. V'le'evish, and I'm not embarrassed. And that's what we're saying, that although he would become embarrassed by his Rebbe, he didn't hold him back from being involved in the words of Torah and consulting him if he was correct or wrong. And the Gemara comments on this, that Tana lo'y mifi b'yishish shmoy, el ish b'yishish shmoy, his Rebbe's name was not really mifi b'yishish. In other words, ish b'yishish. So why was that his name, that he was called Mifi Boishas? Because he would embarrass, so to speak, the face of David in Halacha, that sometimes David HaMelech was wrong, and he would ask him, and he would say, you made a mistake. So although he was the king of the whole land of Eretz Yisrael, and more than that, he was called Mifi Boishas, that from his mouth was embarrassment for David HaMelech. And the Gemara says that in that merit, he merited that came out of David HaMelech was this Talmud Chacham, called Caliph, because David was makten himself, that he humbled himself in front of his Rebbe Mifi Baishas. And the Gemara comments on that. Really that child was not really Caliph, it was Daniel. So why was he called Caliph? And that because he would embarrass the face of Mifi Baishas in Halacha. And that's because the word Kalev is the word of Kal, is related to the word to be machlim, to embarrass. And Av is a reference to the Rebbe that's called the Av Bahirois, that is the father in the teachings. And that's Kalev, that he embarrassed the Rebbe. In other words, so to speak, that David HaMelech was able to come full circle and his children would be responding to the halachas of Mifi Boishas and be embarrassing him, so to speak. And we don't mean just embarrassing, it means in a deeper sense of the understanding of halacha. And Allah Amar Shlomo HaMelech B'Chachmasa, that on this idea, Shlomo HaMelech comments in his wisdom, that Shlomo said, B'ni im chochem libcho, that my son, if your heart is wise, yisamach libi gam ani, then my heart will also rejoice. And that's the idea that David HaMelech is rejoicing that he has a child that can respond to the halachas and the retorts of his Rebbe Mifi Boishas. Similarly, the pasuk says, "Ba'imer chacham b'ni v'samach libi," that if my son is a wise person, then my heart rejoices. "Ba'ashiva chayfi davar," and then I can respond to those that disgrace me something that was, so to speak, the restitution of David's humility, that he was able to have this full circle, that his children would be able to respond to the halachas of his Rebbe Mephibosheth. But now the Gemara goes back to the concept that we mentioned before, from the pasuk of LeDavid Shamer Nafshi Ki Chaser Ani. David HaMelech was saying he's a devout person. So the Gemara asks, but David Mikar LeNafshi Chaser? Did David really call himself a chaser, a devout person, that he was confident in his, so to speak, his spiritual abilities? For Aksiv, but we have a different pasuk that says, Lule Hamanti, had I not believed, Lirois Betuva Hashem Be'eretz Chaim, to see in the goodness of Hashem in the land of the living, that then, and the idea of that pasuk is, then I would have already, like, so to speak, been chased out of this world from my fear of what would happen. And so David HaMelech says that calmed me down, that belief that I had, that I'm going to see in the goodness of the land of the living, which is a reference to Olam Haba. However, the Gemara comments on this. Why in the Torah are there dots on the word lule, had I not believed to see in the goodness of Hashem? Whenever there's nekudais in the Sefer Torah on top of the letters, whenever there are dots, it diminishes the meaning of what's written over there, to say that it's not so clear that he's going to see in the goodness of Hashem. And that's what the Gemara says. Amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu shel Olam, muftach ani b'cho sh'atem sham schar tov letzadikim l'asalav. David HaMelech says, I'm confident in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I know that you're going to give reward, a great reward for tzadikim, for the righteous in the world to come. Aval eini yedei im yesh li chelik b'nei mimlav. But he said, I am not sure if I have a portion in that or not. So therefore, how could David HaMelech say that he's a chassid? Which sounds like he's confident that he's someone that's, so to speak, more mitzvahs than averus. And here he's saying, luli hamanti, that we're saying, the dots on the word luli, is saying that he doesn't really believe, so to speak. And say, had I not believed, that gives me that, so to speak, that calming, that I'm going to get there, he's not so confident. How could he not be confident if he knows he's a chassid? So Gemara answers that although he really actually, and he knew that he was a chassid, shema yigrim hached, he was concerned that although he knew he was a chassid, that maybe he's not going to see Betuv Hashem, because he was concerned that maybe sin caused that it's going to prevent him from seeing in the good. And as the Gemara proves this, because Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi had posed a contradiction. Ksiv, on the one hand, it says in the pasuk to, when Hashem said to Yaakov, Hashem said, "V'hini anoichi imcha u'shmarticha b'chodesh teilech." I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to watch you wherever you go. You can't get a better safety plan than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Don't worry, I'm going to watch you." On the other hand, it says when Esav was coming with Abrahamus Ish, with 400 men with him, it says Yaakov was very worried. Now, how could he be very worried if after the guarantee from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he said that nothing's going to happen to him, how is that possible? Amar Shema Yigur Machet, he said maybe sin had caused that although HaKadosh Baruch Hu had guaranteed him, it's not guaranteed, because maybe if I sin, I'm going to lose that position that I had before. As the Gemara brings another proof, Kedetanya, it says in the Pesukim in Oz Yashar, it says, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, until your people pass, Ad Yavar Amzu Kenis, until your nation passes, that this is the nation that you acquired. So what's this repetition of Ad Yavar two times? So the Braisa makes a drasha. There's two times the Klaus were passing into Eretz Yisrael. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, until your nation passes into Eretz Yisrael, Zubir Rishon. That was the first time coming to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yehoshua. Ad Yavar Amzu Kenisa, that until your nation passes, this is the nation that you acquired. Zubir Shnia, this was the second time coming to Eretz Yisrael, when they came up from Golas Babel in the days of Ezra. And just the interesting way to remember of Ezra and Yeshua is Melech Ezer U'Mashiach. That's Ezra and Yehoshua, that those are the two times that we came into Eretz Yisrael. So there's a correlation of the two Ad Yavars, to which the Gemara comments, Mikanam Chachamim, Ru'uyim Ho Yisrael, Le'osis Lem Nes B'mei Ezra, Kederch Shanas Lehem B'mei Yeshua Benun. In truth, it was fitting for Klai Yisrael to have had miracles done for them in the days of Ezra, when they came up from Golas Babel, just like it was done for them in the days of Yeshua Benun, which is to come B'yad Rama, with a strong hand and taking over the country with force. However, El Shagarim Hachet. But what happened was that sin caused it, and therefore they were only able to go up into the second Beis Hamikdash with the permission of Koyrish, and all the days of the Malchus of Paris, of the Persians, they were indebted they were in servitude to some element, to Kairish and to Achashverish and to the later Daryavish, and that is because the sin had caused it. So we see this idea that David HaMelech, although he said he's a chassid, and Yaakov had the haftach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were concerned that maybe the chet had caused it, that they would lose the promise and the level they had before. And that's exactly what happened in the days of Ezra, that although Ad Yavram Chashem, Ad Yavram Zukanisa meant that it should be a parallel, and they should have came with the same power and might, the Yad Ramah, that there was in the days of Yeshua. However, the sin of the Jewish people had caused that they weren't able to have that same ability that there was in the times when they came into Eretz Yisrael the first time. Now the Gemara continues with the machloikis that we had mentioned in the Mishnah Daf Beis, regarding up until when can we say the evening Kriyishma. Again, Rabbi Eliezer, we had discussed that it's up until the end of the first Mishmer, which is 4 hours into the night. And then it says the Chacham say up until Chatzais, up until midnight, which is later than 4 hours, but it's earlier than Ramliel Shita, which is the whole night. To which the Gemara asks, they want to understand the Shita of Chacham. Chacham k'man svir lehu, who do the Chachamim hold like? In other words, we know that the evening Kriyishma depends on the interpretation of Uveshach Becha. Correct, we said there's two types of Kriyishma. There's Uveshach Becha of Kumech, when you lay down at night, when you get up in the morning. So we have to understand the definition of when you could say the evening Kriyishma, depending on Uveshach Becha, when you're laying down. So how do they understand that idea? Iker Rebbe Eliezer Svir Lehu, if they understand, as Rebbe Eliezer does, that he interprets Uveshach Becha, the time when people are actively going and working on going and falling asleep, some earlier, some later. So then Leimer Rebbe Eliezer, let them say like Rebbe Eliezer, that he says that the evening Kriyishma is up until the end of the first Mishmer, because definitely whoever had intention to sleep that night is already laying down and sleeping. People, some earlier, some later, so it's that 4 hour period, but no one's going to sleep later than 4 hours into the night, at least in the general consensus, in the general idea. So why would they say later, 2 hours later, so to speak, up until Chatzais? Now we continue on to Amud Beis. So therefore, it would seem that the Chacham don't agree like Rebbe Eliezer. V'ikrem Gamliel Svir Lehu, and if they hold like Rebbe Gamliel, that he understands B'shach B'cho is the whole time that people are actually sleeping, and therefore he considers that the Zman of Kriyishma is the whole entire night, up until Amud HaShachar, so let them say like Rebbe Gamliel, which would be up until Amud HaShachar. Why do they have this middle ground of Chatzais? It would seem to be neither here nor neither there. How would they have their understanding of the Pasuk of B'shach B'cho to define why up until Chatzais? So the Gemara says, Lo'ilim Krem Gamliel Svir Lehu. In truth, the Chacham agree in concept to Gamliel, and therefore that the idea of Uveshach Becha is the entire time that people are actually sleeping, and therefore it's the whole entire night. And this that they say that you can only say Kriyishma up until midnight is kedei laharchik yisa adam min aveir, as we mentioned in our Mishnah, that is to distance the person from sin, that he shouldn't rely on the fact that I still have time, and that's what the Gemara brings kedetanya, as we learned in the Braisa. Chacham asu shogla devrei, Chacham made a fence for their words, for the words of the Torah. And that is, Chacham understood the logic, and sometimes faulty logic, of people. And the person is going to come back from work, and he's going to say, Eilich lebesi, va'eichel kimah, let me go home, let me eat a little bit, va'eshle kimah, let me drink a little bit, va'eshle kimah, let me just take a little rest, had a hard day, I have the whole night to say Kriyishma up until the morning. Va'achekach ekor Kriyishma v'asbal, and then I'm going to say Kriyishma, and I'm going to daven. What happens is, v'chaytvasa yishina, and then the sleep overtakes him, b'nimtza yashin kalai, what happens is, he ends up sleeping the whole entire night. Rather, what a person should do is, aval odnum b'man asadeh be'erv. When the person is coming home from the field, or whatever form of occupation that he has in the evening, nichnes lebeis haknesses, he should enter into the shul, imraga likrois, kaira, if he's accustomed to reading from the chumash, or from Tehillim, or something from Tanakh, let him read. V'mroga lishnois, shayin, if he's used to learning, mishnayis, gemara, let him learn. But then, v'kayu krishma, mispal, then let him say krishma, and daven shmoin esvi of mayrev, v'oichel pita mavarach, and then he'll eat his bread, and he'll make a bracha. And that's the way it should be done, and that's what Chachamim said, that you could only say krishma up until the chatzais, because if they gave it the opportunity that the Torah does for the whole night, they're going to do it in a way that they might end up falling asleep and missing the whole Zman of Kriyishma. And the Gemara processes this with a comment. B'chol o'ivr al divrei chachamim chayiv misa. Whoever is o'ivr on the words of the chacham, he's chayiv misa. To which the Gemara asks, Maishna b'chol duchte deloy ketoni chayiv misa? U'maishna hocha de ketoni chayiv misa? Why is it that in all the places when we talk about the gezeirus chacham, we don't mention this idea that if a person does not follow the dictates of the Chacham, and he says Kriyishma, so to speak, after Chatzais, which we saw from our Mishnah, that after the fact, b'diavad, if you missed Chatzais, you should say up until the morning, we don't say generally that a person's Chayiv Misa, and here we do say that if you don't follow their dictates, that you're Chayiv Misa for, so to speak, to be killed. The Gemara gives two reasons why here it's more Chamer. Because of the fact that here there's the force and the temptation of sleep, which overtakes a person to be able, in the words of the Chacham. So therefore, they had to warn it more severe than generally, because sleep is a very powerful need that a person has, and therefore we have to warn it with the chiyuv misa. V'ibayseimam lafuke mimanda amar tefilas aves rishos. Or another Tezek Gemara gives is coming to exclude from the one who says that the evening tefila is a rishos, and therefore you would think there is no chiyuv at all. Kamash b'lon the chiyuv. That's what telling you that there is a chiyuv, and not only that there is a chiyuv, we're going to say that you have to have it by midnight already, and that's the point of showing how important it really is that we're going to make it by midnight deadline. So again, why we said here there's a chiyuv misa in contrast to all the other places of Gezeirat Chacham is one is because the power of the pull of sleep, and the second one is because coming to exclude the one who says that ma'ariv is rishos, they were telling you that it's an obligation, and not only that, we're going to make fences around it up until when you could actually say the evening Krishma and Ma'ariv. So now the Gemara is medayik from the Brisa that we just mentioned. Omamar, we had just mentioned, Koye Krishma Mespal. It said that the proper way that a person should do instead of going home and eating and drinking and sleeping and then missing Krishma, rather what he should do is he should go into the shul and learn. And then it said the words, Koye Krishma Umespal. He should say Krishma. And then daven the evening Shemayna Esrei. So the Gemara says, Misayei L'Rabbi Yechanan. That helps, and it shows a support for the Shita of Rabbi Yechanan, that he says, by the evening Krishma, by the evening Ma'ariv, a person should also first say Krishma and then daven Shemayna Esrei, as the famous halacha, you should be soimich geula letfila, that in the birchas of Krishma and in Krishma itself, it talks about the geula of Mitzrayim, that should come before and right away and go straight into tefillah, into Shemayna Esrei, and not like Rabbi Shuban Levi, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that he says that by Ma'ariv, first you should say Shemayna Esrei and then say Krishma. As the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Izehu ben Oyel Maba, who is a ben Oyel Maba, a person that, so to speak, lives in Oyel Maba. So he says, Zeh HaSemach Gulu L'Tfila Shel Arves, that's someone that he puts together the concept of Geula, which is the topic of Yitzis Mitzrayim and the Shema and the Birchas of Krishma, to the Tfila of Ma'ariv. And Rashi says that it's definitely the Krishma and Tfila of the morning of Shachris, because the Ikar of Geula of Mitzrayim was in the morning, as it says in the Pasuk, in Bamidbar Lamed Gimel, Mimachras HaPesach Yatzeh B'nei Yisrael, that in the morning of Pesach they went out from Mitzrayim. And the idea of Smichas Gula Tfila, David HaMelech already says in the Sefer of Tehillim, it says Hashem Tzuri V'Goyali, Hashem is my Redeemer. And then right away it says in the next Pasuk, Ya'ancha Hashem V'yem Tzara, Hashem shall answer you in the day of Tzara, as the Gemara in Yerushalmi, in the Brachas Yerushalmi explains, that someone that doesn't, that's not Smichas Gula Tfila, that doesn't put Shema Nesai right after saying Shema, he's compared to someone that is a friend of the king. He comes and knocks on the door's king, and the door comes out and finds that he left already. Here also this person left. Rather, the person should be making himself close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll be meratzeh him with tishbaches and praises that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And then he's close to him, and once he's close, then he should ask his needs. That's so to speak like the person that's knocking on the door, and he's close, and then he leaves before he gets a chance to ask. You should have tefillah right after the geula of the Krishma and of the Birchas Krishma. So Rabbi Yechanan's position is that not only is that in the morning, but it's even by the Krishma of the evening should also be Krishma and Tefillah. Rabbi Shuban Levi Omer, he disagrees. He says Tefillah is be'emtza tiknim. The Shemayna Esrei are in between the Krishmas. That the Tefillahs of the day, therefore the Ma'ariv of Tefillah of Shemayna Esrei should come first, and then the Krishma, because first you have Krishma in the morning, then Shachar Shemayna Esrei, then you have Ma'ariv Shemayna Esrei, and then Krishma. That the Shemayna Esrei are in between the Krishma. So the Gemara wants to know, but my Kamifku, what is their machlik is based on? Why does one say the first Krishma then Shemayna Esrei? Another one says Shemayna Esrei then Krishma. So Iba Yisei Makra, Iba Yisei Mesorah. If you want, you could say it's based on the Pasuk, or if you could say that their machlik is based on a rational argument. Iba Yisei Mesorah, that it's a rational argument. Rabbi Yechanan Sava, Gu'ula Mi'urti Nami Havre. Rabbi Yechanan holds that the redemption, the Gu'ula from Mitzrayim, was also at night. It's just that the ultimate redemption was only in the morning. However, since there was a somewhat of a redemption at night, therefore, because they were so to speak, the Mitzrim already saying, get out already at midnight. So therefore, you should also be Samach Gula Tfila at night. Rabbi Shuban Levi Savar, Kivin of Lehavi Elamit Safra, Lehavi Gula Mayasa, Rabbi Shuban Levi, however, holds it since it was only in the morning when they actually left, so therefore it wasn't a true and ultimate Gula. And therefore, it's not considered something that you have to be semach geula l'tfila. That's one interpretation of the machlekes. V'ibayseima, Kra, that it's based on the pasuk. Ushnei mekra echadosh, and they're actually machlekes is based on the same pasuk. Tachsiv b'shach b'chov kumech. It says in the pasuk in Kriyishma that one should recite these parashas when one is laying down and when one is getting up. So b'yechnan savar makas shchiva l'kima. What we do is we compare going to sleep at night to getting up in the morning, and that is makhima Kriyishma v'achkach tefillah. Just like in the morning, everybody agrees that first you say Kriyishma and then tefillah. Because everyone agrees there you have to be semach gula tefillah, so av shchiva nami kriyishma v'achkach tefillah. So too when one is laying down, first you do kriyishma and then tefillah. However, Bishub and Levi Saver makas shchiva l'kima. He also agrees that you compare laying down to getting up, but he compares it in a different way. Makima kriyishma samach l'mitasai av shchiva nami kriyishma samach l'mitasai. Just like in the morning, that the kriyishma is the one that's closest to the bed. Because when you get up, first comes Kriyishma, then Shema Nesli. So to when one's laying down, the Kriyishma is the one that's closest to the bed, and that is therefore you have to first do Shema Nesli, and then Kriyishma, that it should be the one closest to the bed. Now the Gemara asks, Masiv Mar Bered Ravina. We said, regarding Birchas Kriyishma, Be'erev Mevarach Shtayim Lefaneh U'Shtayim Lacharyah, that in the evening tefillah, that you make two brachas before Kriyishma, Ma'av Rav, Ma'av Asylum, and you do two afterwards. You make the bracha of Gal Yisrael and of Hashkivenu. So the question is, Ve'i Amrit Bo'i Lismoich, if you say like Rabbi Yochanan, as we bring a raya from the Braisa, that you have to be Semach Gula Tefillah even by the evening Kriyishma, Holoka Samach Gula Tefillah, you're not even having the closeness, the proximity of Gula to Tefillah, which is the bracha of Gal Yisrael, which is the summation of the Kriyishma, to the Shemayna Esay Da Bo'i Lame Hashkivenu, because as we said, there's two Birchas Kriyishma there, and you have to say Hashkivenu, which has nothing to do with Gula. So therefore, you're not even having Semach Gula Tefillah, so it seemed to be not like what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. The Shigmar answers, Amri kivin de tekin rabban hashkivenu kegu'ula richtadam. Since the Rabbanan instituted the idea of the bracha of hashkivenu, it's considered as one long gu'ula. It's not considered an interruption. And the Gemara even proves that you have to say that once it's instituted and it's part of the Birchas Kriyishma, which discussed the idea of gu'ula, that it's not an interruption. They prove it from a different place that everyone has to agree to. The ilay te mahachi, shachar is heichem matzi samach. How could you even have samach gula tefillah in the morning? It says, that when you're starting Shema Nesu, you say the words, Hashem safasai tiftach, Hashem open up my lips. And at the end of Shema Nesu, you say the following, that the words of my mouth should be pleasing to you. So the question is, that is a hafsik also. Hashem safasai tiftach is not tefillah, and it's not geula, so therefore it's interruption. Rather, since the Rabbanan instituted that a person should say that my lips should open as a prelude, as a way of saying the Shemayna Esay, it's part of the tefillah, it's already part of the Shemayna Esay, it's an addendum. So here also, since Rabbanan felt it was necessary to say the bracha of Hashkivenu, it's considered part of the process of one long geula, and therefore it's not considered interruption. Taisus mentions that we say another bracha of Yireinenu, and we say other psukim after Hashkivenu. He says, again, the same idea, that since the Rabbanu were masakin to say these words, that and the reason is that because his friend is davening, he shouldn't leave before everyone's done, and therefore it's not considered an interruption. And similarly, he says that we say 18 times Hashem's name in that the bracha of Yireinenu, that's connected to 18 brachas of Shemayna Esay. And since they were masakin to say these psukim, said they were masakin to end off with the chasima of Yireinenu. And Tosfos says la halacha, it's like Rabbi Yochanan, because we have the brisas masayeh, and that's how the Bahag paskins also. So therefore, Tosfos says that one should be careful not to talk between geula of arvis and the Shemayna Esay, because again, it must be connected, because we paskin that a person should be semach gula tefillah not just in the morning but also at nighttime. Now the Gemara discusses more general the schar, the reward of tefillah. The Gemara says, "Amr b'laza, amr b'vina." Kala imer tehila leDavid b'chol yoyim shalosh pamu. Ebe says what's commonly known as Ashrei, which in a sense starts with tehila David. We just add on the words Ashrei, these two pesukim beforehand for different purposes. Whoever says tehila David every day, three times a day, so then muftach lo yishuhu ben olam haba. So he's guaranteed to be a ben olam haba. And the reason for this is that the three times of Ashrei are connected to three tefillahs in the day. The Mefarshim discuss why we have two by Shachris and one by Mincha and not by Ma'ariv. But the point is that it corresponds to the three tefillahs that a person says every day. So my time, what's the reason why Ashrei is such a powerful tefillah that whoever says it those three times a day, he's guaranteed to be a Ben Olam Haba? So the Gemara discusses, Ilema Mishum Nasi Be Aleph Beis, if it's because it's through the order of the Aleph Beis, and therefore it's saying such a great praise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every letter in his alphabet represents his greatness, what he does for us. So then, Neima Ashri Tamimi Derech, the Asri B'Tamanya Apen. Then you should say Kapitel Kuf Yotes, chapter 119 in Tehillim, that starts off Ashri Tamimi Derech, that has E times the Aleph Beis. And that would be a much greater praise. So that can't be the reason why we say Ashri. Elim Shom de Ispe Peseach Esudecha must be because as the great Pasuk of Hashem, you open your hand, and you satisfy every living thing, that it has that Pasuk that Shvach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. So if that's the case, Neima Halal HaGadol, we should say what's called, commonly known as Halal HaGadol, which is Perek Kuf Lamed Vav and Tehillim. The Chsiv Bei, it says there are even a greater Pasuk. It says, Noisim Lechem Chabas, Hashem gives bread to every living thing. And that's even a greater praise than Peseach Esudecha Maspil Lechol Chai Ratzoyim. So why would we say Ashrei when we have, if the reason is Ashrei, that it's with the Aleph Beis, we have chapter Kuf Yotes. If it's because the Pasuk Peseach Esudecha, we have chapter Kuf Lamed Vav. So our answer is El Mashom Des Beit Tardi. Rather, the idea is because it has both. It has the whole Aleph Beis, and it has the Shevach, the praise of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the Mazon for every living thing. And that's what's important for people to understand. A lot of people focus on the word Pasuk Peseach Esudecha, because in Halacha that is Ma'akiv. But a person should keep that focus when he's going through Ashrei, that it's one of the greatness of Ashrei is not only the Pasuk Peseach, but it's also the idea that it has the whole Aleph Beis going through the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara continues discussing Ashrei. If it goes through the whole Aleph Beis, why does it skip out the letter Nun in Ashrei? And the reason is because the word Nun it connotes the Nefila of those that although it uses the word Soini Yisrael, it's a euphemism for Kala Yisrael, because it alludes to the Nefila, the downfall of Kala Yisrael. Tehsiv, it says in the Pasuk regarding Kala Yisrael, Nafla, they fall, Loi Toisiv Kum Besulas Yisrael, that the maiden of Israel will never get up again. It won't get up. So therefore, since it alludes to that Nefila, David Melch did not want to talk about that in the capital of Ashrei. However, interesting, the Gemara says that b'marava mitarti lahachi in Eretz Yisrael, they interpreted the pasuk in a way that it wasn't so bad, that it was a maila. Nafla, that they fall, v'loi saisif, that it won't be anymore, linful oy, that it won't be anymore, that they won't fall again. Rather, kum b'sulas Yisrael, that the maiden of Israel will get up. So therefore, that's what David HaMelech interpreted that way, and that's why he didn't say the word nun, because it alluded to the nefila, the downfall of Kala Yisrael. However, the Gemara does say that Amr ibn Nachman Yitzchak Afilo Hachi, in spite of this, that he even left out the nun because it alluded to the nefila, and therefore he didn't want to be meramez that. He went back and it was meramez the helping out, the helping up of the downfall. Right after that, Chazad David b'samchan beruach hakodesh, that he was alluded to the helping up of those who fell. Shenema soymech Hashem l'chol naifam, that Hashem helps and supports those that fall. So although he didn't say the nefila, but he because he didn't want to allude to that, but he wanted to allude to the helping of that. That's Seimech Hashem, the Chol HaNef, and Hashem supports those that fall. Another statement from Rebbe Elazar Bar Avino. Omer Rebbe Elazar Bar Avino, Gadol Mashenem b'Michol, Yesh b'Mashenem b'Gavriel. Greater is said about what it says in the Pasuk by Michal, who is the Malach of Chesed, than what it says about the Malach of Gavriel, who is the Malach of Din. Dili b'machoil, ksiv, because whereas by the Malach Michal it says, v'yoyf alai echa men asrafim, that one of the srafim, one of the burning malachim, that he flew to me, that it, and that connotes that it was with one jump, that he didn't have to stop in between, because it says he flew, v'ila gabi gavriel ksiv, but however by the Malach Gavriel it says, v'ish gavriel, asher isa b'chazayin, the man Gavriel that I saw in my vision, b'tchila mo'if b'yoyf v'goymer, that he flew to me. And it says it with two words, which would, it's mashma, that he did it with two jumps. He couldn't go right away. But then the Gemara asks, my mashma, the high echad Michal, who, how do we know that the first pasuk that says that it flew to me, one of the srafim that it refers to Michal? And maybe echad and ask you echad echad, because we learn from a different pasuk that says echad, ksiv hacha, v'yovalai echad min asrafim. It says in this pasuk the word echad, v'ksiv hasam, it says in that pasuk, v'hine Michal, Echad hasarim harishayin in Baal Ezrein, that Michal, one of the first masters, he came to help me. So we see that it refers to Michal as Echad. And that's why we see that greater was by Michal, that he could do it in one jump versus Gavriel needs two jumps. And the Gemara says, Tana, we learned Michal ba'achas. Michal could get somewhere in his shlichas. And that's why malachim are called malach, because it's a word of shliach, of a messenger in one jump, so to speak. Gavriel b'shtayim, he does it in two jumps. Eliyahu ba'arba, Eliyahu, it takes four jumps. And that's because he's, so to speak, a combination of sorts. Umalacham avis b'shmayim, the malachim needs eight different steps. However, the Gemara says, "Ubashasama gave a ba'achas," but during a time of a plague, he does it in one jump, and he doesn't have to wait what's commonly required of him of eight jumps. Now, the Gemara discusses Kriyishma Lamita. Avimishu ben Levi, Av bishakar od mekriyishma beisakneses. Although a person says Kriyishma in the beisakneses, as we mentioned earlier in the Gemara, that a person says Kriyishma in shul when he's davening ma'ariv, mitzvah lekriyishma matasi. There is a mitzvah to say it on his bed, which is commonly known as Kriyishma Lamita. What's the pasuk that shows us that a person should say kriyishma on his bed? It says in the pasuk, "Rigzu va'al techto, tremble and don't sin. Imru v'vavchem amashkavchem, you should say it on your heart, on your bed. V'doy musela, and you should be silent." So Rashi shows how we see kriyishma lamita over here, that imru v'vavchem refers to what it says about the alav avecha, which is kriyishma, you should say the alav avecha, and amashkavchem is uveshachbacha. And the daimu is when you're silent, when you're going to sleep. So that's how we say that you should say the pasuk of Krishma on your bed when you're going to sleep. However, the Gemara does qualify this. Amar Rav Nachman says, and we continue to the top of Daf Hey, Im Tamachachem Hu Ain Tzarch. But if he's a Tamachachem, then he does not need to say Krishma Lamita. And the reason is because he's so accustomed to saying his learning, to constantly reviewing it, that's enough of a Shmira at night. However, Amar Abaye, Af Tamachachem Eboilei Lameimer Chad Pesukah Derachmi. Abaye says no. A Tamachachem needs at least one pasuk of mercy, of Hashem's mercy, Kugoyin, and he gives an example of this. B'yodcha Af Kedruchi, that in your hand I entrust my spirit. Padiso Isi Hashem, Hashem, you redeem me. Kelem is the true God, that although he's a Tamachachem, there is a necessity of at least saying one pasuk of Rachmim, in contrast to regular people that need to say the whole Nusach of Krishma, and as the pasuk we brought down, some people say Brigzu Val Techto, that's where we find the concept, the source of saying Krishma Alamita. Today we will Be'ez Hashem be learning Daf Dalet of Masechtas Brachas. Some of the key topics and concepts that will be discussed include Chatzos, midnight, and the ability to identify its exact moment. While in the previous Amud, the Gemara accepted the assumption that David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu both did not know the exact moment of Chatzos, today's daf will introduce the idea that indeed both did know, with the Gemara offering a few explanations how to understand the Pesukim. The Gemara continues to discuss other Pesukim where David HaMelech spoke about himself. It will deal in length with the contradiction of David calling himself in one place a Chassid, while in the other place he calls himself unworthy. The Gemara will then return to discuss the